And if you will, take your Bible out and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And once you're there, if you would stand with me in honor of God's word. I know you've had to stand a lot this morning. We're going to begin reading Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from all at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. May the Lord give understanding and add to his word. You may be seated. You know, one of the things I love about this time of the year, besides the fact that we get to eat ice cream more, is only Miss Ann and one or two of you got that. Okay, you're with me. All right, I love ice cream. I love picnics, and I love the fireworks. But I love reflecting on the freedoms that we have in this land and the reasons for those freedoms that we have been granted here. And as Baptists, we have even more reason to be thankful. If you look and if you study our nation's founding, you'll see that the Bill of Rights was greatly influenced, especially the First Amendment, because Baptists in America, they were used to being persecuted. The reason many of them came here is because they weren't able to worship the Lord freely, as they felt and their conscience had led them to, and they were persecuted in other lands. They were prevented. Some of them lost their life. But here they came. They immigrated here, crossed the ocean, and set up a new country. And then, of course, you had the Revolutionary War, and we celebrate that on the 4th of July, and then you had the Constitution that was made in the following years after all that. But the right to worship God freely, guaranteed in the First Amendment, came about because of the hard work of many of our forefathers. And all the other rights that we have in this land are because of the sacrifice that many people have made going before us. Now, the passage that we look at this morning deals with freedom. It may not appear so. You may not find the word freedom in there, but it's what it's dealing with. It deals with freedom, freedom that we've been granted through the Lord Jesus Christ because of our position in Him. The message I want to deliver this morning is called Heirs of God. We've been made heirs of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and according to His promise. Now to understand it, we're going to spend some time looking back in chapter 3 and then go forward into chapter 4. Look with me in your Bible at Galatians chapter 3. What Paul's been dealing with is he's been dealing with a group of people that have been are going back. They're forsaking their freedom, their liberty, that Christ has won for them by His death, burial, and resurrection, and they're trying to earn God's favor by their own works. So Paul's been dealing with that, as we've been discussing over the last several weeks. And so in part of dealing with that, what he does is he points to Abraham, and he points out the fact that Abraham was given the promise of an heir that would bless the entire world, the promise of a seed, an offspring, that would come and through him the entire world would be blessed, and ultimately through him the entire world would have the offer of redemption. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's been talking about that. If you look back at Galatians chapter 3, verse 18, he sums up talking about that in this verse. Verse 18, he says, "For the inheritance is of the law." It is no longer, "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it," that is the inheritance, "to Abraham by promise," right? It's by promise. And he says the promise was given before. So the promise was given before the law ever came. Now that raises a question. Well, why did God send the law? If the promise was by faith before the law ever came, why did God send the law? Last week a lot of you weren't here. We had some electricity problems, but a few of you gathered, and we had kind of a close communion here. But we illustrated what happened, how the promise was given to Abraham, and it was given in a covenant back in Genesis chapter 15, and God had told Abraham to take several animals and to divide them, to cut them, and he was going to make a covenant with Abraham. Abraham had been asking, "Lord, you promised me all this, but I don't see a physical son. I can't have children. I'm old." God said, "I'm going to show you. I'm going to promise this by a covenant." And if you read in Genesis 15, what ends up happening is God makes a covenant there. And Abraham would have been expecting for himself to enter the covenant. We talked last week how they did that. They did that by taking the halves of these animals and splitting them apart into two parties that were making a blood covenant together, an oath, swearing an oath that couldn't be broken together. They'd start back to back. And then they would cross, and they would circle around these different halves of the animals, and they would cross again, pass it in the middle, and then come back around, making a figure eight, each of them, until they stood face to face in the middle, and they would recite the terms of the covenant together. But the Bible says in Genesis 15 that Abraham fell into kind of like this deep sleep, and then he awoke, and what he saw was not that he was going into this covenant, but he saw this smoking pot and this burning torch passing between the halves of the animals. They were going through the covenant ritual together, the smoking pot and this burning torch. And we talked about what did that represent. And then the Bible says that through that in Genesis 15, the Bible says, so God made covenant with Abraham. But Abraham didn't walk through the trail of blood. Abraham didn't go through all the motions of the covenant. So how in the world could God have made covenant to Abraham? He made it to him by promise. He promised him a son. And it was a specific son, and that's what Paul talks about earlier in Galatians chapter 3. Paul points out that son was ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was happening that day when Abraham saw it, what the two halves that were passing through, the smoking pot illustrated the righteous judgment of God. And we talked about different verses in the Bible that talk about the smoking oven and pot of God's righteous judgment. But that burning torch symbolized God's salvation. And in Psalms, it talks about how your salvation will go forth like a lit torch. And there, what was being pictured for Abraham was that judgment and mercy would meet together, and God was making covenant with himself, and all Abraham was doing was watching it happen over on the side. But because he watched it happen, and because God was making covenant with himself, and because Jesus Christ, God was promising that there's going to be one that's going to come from you, Abraham, that's going to fulfill this that you're seeing here, and that's going to be one of your descendants. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was granted to him for righteousness. What was happening was Abraham was trusting God's promise. That's what's told to us there, summed up in Genesis 18. Well, if it was given by promise, then Why was the law given? Look in Galatians 3, verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed, now in your Bible, that word is probably capitalized. It should be. The seed is Jesus Christ. Verse 16 tells us that. Paul says, and to your seed who is Christ. Go back down to verse 19. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. What he's talking about is God made covenant with himself. Does God need a mediator for himself? No. He made covenant with himself, but in making covenant with himself, he was providing for us a mediator. And all we do is we trust in what Jesus has done. Paul says, is the law, verse 21, then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who, what? Say it again. Believe. Might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, catch this, the law was our tutor, or your Scripture might say schoolmaster, our instructor, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The promise was given to Abraham by faith. The promise was guarded by the law. God gave the law as a guard until Christ came. That word tutor in verse 24 comes from a word pedagogue. Means a child leader, somebody who takes a child. What it was back in that day and age is it was somebody that was a trusted servant. It was usually the most trusted servant in a great man's house. And he would trust this servant with his most valuable possession. Not really a possession. His children. What he would do is this servant was given the task of taking his child by the hand and leading him to school. And then sitting there and helping to tutor that child in all the things that it needed to understand and it needed to learn so that it could grow to maturity. And then it was to take that child by the hand and lead it back home. It was a guard. It was somebody that kept that child safe. Why? Because the child is the heir. The child is valuable. The child is precious. But the goal was not for the child to live his whole life with this tutor beside him. It'd be like this. I'm really grateful for several of my school teachers growing up. Some I'm more grateful for than others. But I can remember when I was in the first grade, my school teacher's name was Miss Smith. You're going to have a fun time looking her up, right? Miss Mary Smith. And she was a wonderful lady. But she pushed me. She wanted me to be and to apply myself and be the best that I could be in her little first grade class. I can remember I would come home thinking, she hates me. I remember one time I came home and I was crying as a young boy. And I was telling my mom, Miss Smith hates me. She's always telling me to try it again, to do it better, to do it. And she's like, she doesn't hate you, honey. I read what she writes on your report card. She really likes you. She just is trying to get you to do the best. She knows that you've got a lot of ability. And by the end of the school year, I really loved Miss Smith. I found out, yeah, she was great. But you know something? I appreciate Miss Smith. And I think years ago, I wrote a card to her when I graduated from high school and told her how much I appreciated her. But you know something I don't do today? I don't go running to Miss Smith to find out how to spell a word. I don't go running to Miss Smith. I was terrible at spelling, by the way. Still am. I go running to the word spell check. I don't go running to Miss Smith to find out how to do fractions and simple addition and subtraction. Why? Because she did her job. And she passed me off to the next group, and the next group. And now that I'm mature, I don't need to go running to them to have the same instruction. You understand what I'm saying? Well, in the same way, what Paul's telling these early believers is he's saying, listen, the law, its purpose was to get you to Christ. Its purpose was to bring you to fulfillment. But before you had Christ, you didn't have any internal control telling you what was right or wrong. So you needed something on the external to shape you and to guide you and to mold you and to keep you from going the wrong way until that time that you would recognize your need for Christ. He was telling them that's what God's purpose was in giving the law back in the Old Testament. It was to keep and to guard and to preserve through the nation of Israel until the time would come when Jesus would be given. So now that Jesus is here, you don't go running back to the old things because you've got something better. You've got Him who lives within you. You've got Him who's redeemed you. So you see that the promise was given. You see that the promise was guarded. But now look with me in our passage this morning. It says that the promise was granted through Christ. Look at verse 26. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And now that great verse, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul is not saying here that there are no longer men and women, and there's no longer different nationalities, and there's no longer different occupations and in this world. What he's saying is that before the cross, at the foot of the cross, before the throne of God, we are all equal in His sight. There is not somebody that is more Christian than somebody else. Why? There's not somebody that has greater access to God than another person. Why? Because our access is all the same. It's all through Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have just as much access to God as I do. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, or if you're a Jew or a Gentile. We all have the same amount of access to God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us all equally. Amen? That's good news. And that was good news to them back then. You see, what they were being told were these people were coming in who were Jews, and they were saying, well, listen, yeah, you got started right, but we have greater knowledge than you do. And you need to follow all the rules of the law in order to really have access to God. Yeah, you need to be saved, but you also need to keep all these rules and regulations in order to really have access to God. And what Paul is saying here is, no! If you've placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then He dwells within you. And that's what he's about to say in a minute. And you have all the access you need to God through Him, not through your works. Praise God for that. Praise God for that, because quite frankly, there's some days when I wake up and I feel like God's more distant than on other days. You ever been there? If you based your relationship with God on feelings, you would feel like, well, God must be further away today. Or, well, I know that He doesn't change, so maybe it's based on something that I've done. I've drifted away from God. Well, yes, we can drift in our fellowship with God, but that doesn't mean that we're hindered at all in coming back to Him, because it's only through Christ and it's only through what He's done. You say, well, I don't feel as close to God today. Pick this up and read it. and ask God in simplicity, Lord, speak to me through your word. I don't feel as close to God today. He doesn't seem to be answering me today. You ever been there? Remember whose child you are. You're a child of the King. Look with me in verse 26. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. What a glorious truth this is. This is the promise granted. Do you realize the privilege that you have by being a child of God? Years ago, I was visiting some friends in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as I was visiting with them, they were real big. In fact, one of their sons used to race for Joe Gibbs Racing. And so they were real big in the racing world. And when I was visiting with them, they said, you need to go down and just tell these people, you know me, and they'll let you back into the VIP access, and you can see all the ins and outs of Joe Gibbs Racing. So we went down there, and sure enough, they took us into like the board meeting room. Then they took us down onto the showroom floor, and we got down there on the showroom floor. We got down there on the mechanic floor. Wasn't the showroom? It looked like a showroom, but this is where they assembled those NASCAR cars, right? And you could see the car right there, and the guys are working on it, and you could eat off that floor. It was spotless. It was beautiful. And we got to walk through there, and then they would take tours on that. But where they took us is his son came out, and he said, well, let me show you where the drivers train. And so he took us back into the driver's training access. And then he showed us the computer simulator that they would go through. And then he showed us where the engineers worked. And we got a grand tour of this big racing facility. Now, if I had walked up and I'd said, hi, my name is Nathan Ritchie, I'd like to tour your facility, you know what they would say? Who? So that's not what I did. I went and I walked up and I was there with this guy's name was Sam Conway. He said, hey, my son's name's Kevin. Oh yeah, we know Kevin. Come on in. We didn't even need badges or anything. He said, you just, y'all go see whatever you want to see. Because we knew this person, we had access to everything. Now listen to me. Because you know Jesus Christ, you have access to all that is Christ's. Do you realize that? Do you realize the privilege that that gives you? You're not going to stand in heaven and say, yes, he knows your name, but you're not going to stand there and say, Lord, may I come in because of who I am? You're going to stand there and say, Jesus is going to be right there with you, and he's going to be saying, he's one of mine. She's one of mine. They belong to me. They've trusted me as Savior. Do you realize that the access that you have, the privileges that you have, I want to just list a few of them here in the Scripture, and then we'll close. Look in verse 29. What are the rights and privileges of being a son or daughter of Christ? Look in verse 29. It says, if you are Christ's. The first right or privilege is that you belong to Christ. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, that means you belong to Him. You're His. And guess what? He's not going to let you go. Praise God for that. You belong to Him. Remember, He's the Good Shepherd. And remember the story that He told, the parable of the lost sheep, who said, you know, if you have a good shepherd and he loses even one sheep, he's got 100 sheep, he loses even one. Does he just say, oh, well, chalk it off. That's just a business loss. No, what's he do? He secures the 99. He goes out and he searches everywhere until he finds that one sheep that he's lost. And then he comes home rejoicing that he's found that one sheep. If you're Christ, you're His. He's not going to let you go. Amen? That's good news. Secondly, if you're Christ, you belong to Him. It says you're an heir. Then you're Abraham's seed. heirs according to the promise. What was the promise ultimately that was given to Abraham? The promise ultimately that was given to Abraham was justification by faith. Abraham, it was said, he believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. What you have, because you've trusted Christ, is you have justification. You're made right in the sight of God. What an incredible thing that is. I don't know about for you, but when I think upon my past, I'm so glad I won't be standing with that on my record. But because I've trusted Christ, I have His perfect, spotless righteousness. Praise God for that. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. To redeem. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, that means you've been redeemed. You've been bought back. And you've been bought back with the most precious and the highest, most precious price ever that could be paid has been paid, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood has redeemed you and paid your penalty in full. Verse 5, it says we might receive the adoption of sons. If the promise, the privilege that you have in Christ is that now you've received the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Do you realize the great privilege that that is? That He who filled and moved and was with Christ at every moment while He was on earth, the Holy Spirit of God, that third person of the Trinity that has been there for all eternity. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, the Scripture says He now fills your heart to guide you. Jesus said that the Father would send Him to guide you into all truth, to instruct you and to teach you. What a privilege we've received in Christ. And not only that, not only have we been redeemed by Christ, not only have we been filled by the Spirit, but look, He says, He sent forth the Spirit of your Son, His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba is a word. It was used by little children. In our day and age, it would be like when Isaiah comes running up to me and says, Daddy. When I come through the door and he comes running up to me, he says, Daddy. He's all excited. He calls me Daddy, and he wants me to what? Pick him up. Now, I'm not the best father, but that touches my heart. And so, how can I not respond with a greeting when my kids come running and saying, Daddy! Right? Well, what he's saying here is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and now you're able to cry out to the eternal, holy, righteous Father who owns everything, who possesses all things, who knows the end from the beginning. You're able to run to Him and say, Daddy, Father, here's my need, here's my care, here's my concern. And He hears you. Oh, what a privilege that is. We get to cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, verse 7, we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Jesus told His disciples before going to the cross, He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. In John 16, right before going to the cross, before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, verses 23 and 24, He said this, In that day, you will ask nothing of Me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you realize the rights and privileges that have been granted to you as an heir of God? One of the things that I'm grateful for, I've had the privilege to travel to other countries. And I've learned in traveling to other countries, there's one thing that is absolutely necessary. In fact, depending on the country that I'm in, if it's a little more unknown, a little more strife, depending on the country that I'm in, this thing does not leave my side. Now, if it's a more secure country like Australia or something like that, then I'm just keeping it in a secure place. But that thing is called my passport, right? That passport's precious to me. You know why? Because that passport guarantees I get to go back home. And there's no feeling like going back and you're landing in the airport and you go through and you come back into United States Customs and you get to get in that different line than everybody else that's from another country. God bless them, but you get to go over here and you get to scan your thing, and now that thing raises up and it takes a picture of you, and it says, okay, gives you a green check mark and you're clear to go. You're home. That passport's precious. It doesn't leave my side. Christ has sealed you by the Holy Spirit with His blood, and He now has given you eternal access to the Father. I thank God for the rights and privileges of living in this land. I thank Him even more for the eternal privileges granted to me through His Son, not because of who I am, but because of how good He is. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?